Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. And today, I'm so blessed and excited to have Anne Chen on the podcast. Now, Anne is an occupational therapist assistant and has been for the last 21 years at Catalyst. Anne is one of our greeters and also helps out with the visual aid team. She enjoys running with a purpose, and we'll have her explain this in just a bit. And with that, Anne, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
Thank you.
Yeah, you strike me as someone who is very courageous. And I say that because when Catalyst has our open mic sharing, whether it's Thanksgiving or some other time, you and a few others like Blake are consistently sharing what God is doing in your lives. And so for you, how do you summon that courage to come up and share your testimonies in front of everyone?
I think it's the Holy Spirit, because I usually get the sweaty palms and the heart beating really fast that Pastor Barry mentions. And surprisingly, after I obey the Holy Spirit, and then I share those at Thanksgiving services, and then I sit back down, all the symptoms go away. So I think courage comes from the Holy Spirit prompting me.
Yeah, so it's almost like when you get that the heartbeat and the heart palpitations, it's your indication to kind of get out of your seat and go up there and share then, huh?
Yes, usually. I mean, after you fight the Holy Spirit for a little bit, but then it keeps going. So then I figured it's better to just be obedient because we can't win.
Well, thank you for going up and sharing, because, you know, we're all so blessed when you do go up and share what God's doing in your life. Now, so since 2003, you've competed in 61 half marathons and 11 marathons. Wow. I mean, do you realize that that's over 1,100 miles?
No.
Yeah, so that's like running from Los Angeles to a little past Denver, Colorado.
No, I don't think I thought of it that way.
Yeah. I was just putting some numbers together. Yeah. But
you're like a one-off on each of them. I've done 62 half and 12 marathons.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So definitely a little past Denver as far as the mileage. Maybe we could start with telling me how you first got into running.
I think I never liked PE when I was in junior high and high school.
Really?
And out of all the activities in those in PE class, I think I hated running the most,
from
the PE teacher. So I always joke, because I'm like, God must have a sense of humor, because now I pay money to run. But my first, first exposure to the marathon was through Connie Kuhn I was at Cerritos Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. When she asked, do you want to do the rock and roll San Diego Marathon? I didn't even know how long a marathon was. So when she told me that it was 26.2 miles, I'm like, I'll think about it. So then after that Sunday, I was going to Bible study, but before I had to go to Bible study that met in Tustin, I got gas in Cerritos. So then I always hit my trip odometer on my car.
Uh-huh.
Every time I got gas. So then by the time I got to Bible study in Tustin, the mileage actually said 26. My first thought was, what, Connie wants me to walk from Cerritos to Tustin? Why? But for some strange reason, I thought about it and I said, you know, Connie, I think I'll give this new challenge. I'll challenge myself.
Yeah.
If I'm doing it with you, it might be more fun.
Okay.
So for a few weeks, Connie would map out a little route around the city of Rossmore, where she lived at the time.
Okay.
And then, except we didn't really know too much about training. So the most we did was 13, which I don't recommend anyone training for marathon to only go to 13. But, and we didn't know anything about fueling or hydration. So needless to say, we got to marathon weekend and we did all the pick up your bib and all that stuff. And then at the time, Irene Suha and Ruth Sun were doing it too. And some other people from church that we didn't know, I didn't know, like Pastor Sam Lee and a couple other people that I can't remember. Maybe Damon was at that one too. I can't remember. But I actually was like all the adrenaline, like I started running, but I had never trained to run. I had only done walking with Connie. So I started running, and then the next thing, like half quarter mile in, I'm like, I'm getting tired. I'm like, okay, bye Ruth, bye Irene. Oh, I hope to see you. So for a long, big portion of the Rock and Roll San Diego Marathon in 2003, I was pretty much doing it by myself and all the random thousands of participants until Connie caught up to me towards the end. But by then I'm like, why did we do this? I don't know why this is. But then, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm glad I get to finish with you because I don't think I could finish by myself.
Yeah.
And then we eventually finished. And then I thought, okay, that was it. The last time, I don't know why I did it. And then let's see.
Well, let me just stop you there. So I remember you were telling me, though, that as hard as it was for you, you kind of had you had time to kind of connect with God during the race, too. So I wondered if you can talk about that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So since I was by myself, at least not with anybody familiar, people from church, I did sense that I was going to finish even though I didn't feel like I was going to finish because I almost felt like Jesus was walking alongside of me. And I was just like asking Jesus for strength and help and like, okay, why did I do this again? Why did I say yes? So yes, I think for a good portion of the marathon, I definitely connected with Jesus because I felt like he was walking with me.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think you said you even got encouragement from total strangers too, that it's like everyone is working for a common purpose, that's to finish.
Yes, I did.
And so everyone's kind of encouraging each other along as well.
It is kind of funny that how random strangers can be very encouraging to one another.
Yeah, definitely when you're all shooting for a common goal. Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think you said that you did a couple more races. I think one was a half marathon, one was a marathon with no training. And then from all these experiences, you started training and preparing yourself for your next race, which I believe you said was a full marathon in Honolulu, right?
Right.
So I wondered if you could talk about that process now of how you're starting to train and kind of discipline yourself.
After 2003 Rock and Roll San Diego, I decided maybe I'll, try this walking, running thing and, redeem my experience from being in junior high and high school and it wasn't as bad. So I decided to, because Connie at the time, I think she was training with the LA Leggers. And so they were doing the Surf City half marathon in Huntington Beach in 2004. So I'm like, well, I had such a good time walking with Connie, I'll just continue with her. And then a bunch of her fellow teammates are club members, they were all doing the LA Marathon in 2004. So of course, me, thinking, sure, that sounds like fun. I signed up too. Yeah. And then after the LA, I was surprised. I thank God that I didn't die in the city of LA, having paid $85. But I felt I actually ended up doing that one by myself because I didn't see any of Connie's, I didn't see Connie, or I pretty much did it by myself again with probably Jesus walking aside me and trying to help me be comforted about the feelings of I'm not going to die in downtown LA. But after I finished, I was pretty like, well, this was a kind of a waste of $85. I'm like, all you get is a dumb medal, and now I have to drive home. I saw the purpose. I'm like, well, that was kind of a waste. But then at the time I was working at Long Beach Memorial Rehab Hospital, and one of my coworkers was raising money for the American Stroke Association, and she was going to go to Honolulu at the end of, in 2004.
Okay.
So I thought, and she was telling us that, oh, they're having information sessions.
Okay.
And so I went to one, and then I learned, oh, we'll train you, and we'll fundraise train you. I'm like, because I've never raised so much money before. Mm-hmm. I think we had to raise like over $3,000 or something like that.
Okay.
So, yeah, so then I followed the training plan for both the physical marathon training and the fundraising training, because I've never raised money for anybody before. And so come Honolulu 2004 was my first, even though it was my third marathon, it was the first one where I actually trained.
Yeah.
And it made a big difference with sticking with the training plan, because I shaved 1 hour off the previous two marathon times.
Yeah.
So I realized, oh, people do have to train for marathons.
Yeah. I mean, that's huge. One hour. That's a lot. So what did you do? Tell us about your training, your regimen.
So the coaches would give us, like, every week, mm-hmm. they would give us, like, so many minutes we had to run during the week, and then on the weekends we had a long run with the whole group.
Okay. Yeah. And tell us also about, because this is where you started running with a purpose. And so as you started training for the Honolulu Marathon, what was your purpose in running?
At the time, I didn't have anybody that I knew of in my family personally that had a stroke. But I remembered some people at church. They had strokes. And then so I went up to them like, I'm gonna do this marathon in honor of you guys. Because I know you can't do it, because I mean, it's a struggle for you. It was a struggle for them to move sometimes. So I said, you know what, I'm gonna be disciplined, train. And so, knowing I was doing it for those two and all the other people that I met at work that happened to be people with strokes, it made me be disciplined enough to train for the marathon.
Yeah, nice. And I think you even said too that you felt that. God enabled you to get up in the mornings and be more disciplined as you trained as well, huh?
Yes, definitely, because the group met down in Newport Beach in Irvine.
Yeah.
So it takes me 30 minutes without traffic to go from Cerritos to Irvine. So, and I'm not really a morning person unless I have to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think God definitely enabled me to wake up early several weeks in a row to train.
Yeah. I love your story, you know, because what it showed me also is that God can be an integral part of something that we strive for in life, you know, whether it's a sport or a hobby or a goal, or in your case, running, that, you know, there's that God can be a part of something that we're involved in. And so tell us now about that day and the actual race, what that was like for you, the Honolulu Marathon.
Well, we had got to Honolulu like probably the Friday before the marathon, and then we did all the, you know, pick up your stuff, and then we had a kind of like a group team carbo loading kind of dinner. And then I think the day of the marathon, it was interesting because I felt like I was pretty well trained. And then I stuck with some of my teammates, but then a lot of them are a lot faster than me.
Okay.
So then I pretty much, again, was pretty much running by myself, but not really by yourself because you're with thousands of people. So I just did my own and then just watched the different people. And there's a couple times I actually felt kind of sad because there looked like there was a lot of foreigners that they were dragging their poor little kids on the course.
Oh, wow.
I don't think they do that anymore because I just recently did the Honolulu Marathon again and I didn't see as many little kids. Yeah. But at the time I was like, oh, I don't even have kids, but that kid doesn't look like he's having fun.
But
I finished, and then when I was approaching the finish line, seeing the finish time clock with the 6 in the hour spot, I was like, oh my goodness, because the previous two I saw the finish line clock, it had a 7. So going, knowing that there's a 6, and then I still had almost a half an hour before it would reach 7, and I was really close, like probably 0.2 or something away. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to shave a whole hour off. Yeah. So I was getting really excited.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it was a fun day because I was like, all the training paid off.
Yeah. Yeah, so, no, you can see the fruits of all your effort.
The discipline.
And I think you even told me, too, that you enjoyed just the scenery, huh? Just soaking in. I mean, what do you remember about this, just enjoying being out on the island and soaking everything in?
Yeah, it's definitely a very beautiful scenery.
Yeah.
It got a little warm, though, I guess, from the humidity. So the scenery helped, from what I remember,
nice. Well, you know, I thought you would appreciate this because as we were preparing for our time together, Anne, I was just thinking about how there's scripture verses where you know, Paul actually compares faith to running in a race. So I thought you would appreciate this. And I love how Paul in the Bible compares wanting to spread the good news of Christ to running in a race. So 1 Corinthians 9:24-26 in the New Living Translation, he says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. Then he says, all the athletes are disciplined in their training, so they do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. And I thought that was just so interesting because you talk about, you know, first of all, the discipline in running and then running with a purpose, a greater purpose in mind. And so you're doing that with, mm-hmm. with your running. So I think that's so awesome. And then I just want to quote one other scripture because in Hebrews 12:1 in the English Standard Version, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so I thought, gosh, you know, yeah, it would be harder to run with a weight, like if you had a big backpack or something on, you know. So speaking of running, as you were growing and training in your marathons and half marathons, you were also growing in your faith journey with God as well. And so I wondered if you can talk about your faith race as I think you mentioned choosing to come to Catalyst many years ago was part of your faith journey. So I wonder if you can talk about that.
Sure. I guess 17 years ago when Pastor Barry said he felt called. Pastor Barry was the associate pastor at Sirtis Baptist Church, mm-hmm. and he felt called to start his own church plant. And so I remember in the previous church plants at Sirtis Baptist Church, they didn't have all these big meetings with the home church and church plant because it was just like a little group of one person felt led, so then they just took a little group of people from church. But I guess if your associate pastor decides to do it, they have to have these big meetings. So I remember attending all of these different info meetings because I didn't know, like, it made sense for me to stay at the home church because I live in the city of Cerritos and I wasn't always on time for church anyway. So I thought, well, if church is going to move to Long Beach, I might be even later. But I still went and I went to the different meetings, and then they had one day, they called it Commitment Day, where they gave us these two little cards, One said home church, and one said the church plant. At the time, I don't think there was a name for the church for Catalyst yet.
Yes.
So they gave it the cards to us, and then we were not supposed to talk to any of our friends in deciding when you bring the card back for on the commitment day. So, okay, I'm not talking. And then you can only talk to your spouse because they didn't want husband and wife to separate and go to two different churches. So it's like, well, I'm single, so I can't talk to anybody. So I prayed and prayed, and then I literally filled out both of them.
Okay.
And brought it to commitment day Sunday, still not knowing which one. But I had like a nudging maybe to try the church plant, but I wasn't really sure. So I decided I'm going to just fill out both of them. And at the very last minute when they announce when we deposit, then maybe I'll decide. So then I still had the nudging, but I wasn't quite sure. And then that particular Sunday, I don't remember the whole message that Pastor Gary gave, but he talked about sheep and how we are like sheep, and sheep aren't the brightest of animals, and they need nudging from the shepherd a lot because they would wander off if they didn't get nudged to go in the right direction.
Okay.
So then it made me think, I keep getting nudging to put the church plant card in. So, okay. So I dropped, when it came time for them to collect them,
yeah.
I said, well, Pastor Gary said we're like sheep that need nudging, and I've been feeling these nudges. So I guess I'll be nudged to put in the church plant one.
Yeah.
So I put it in, and then we got released to go to the soft opening of the church or something like that. And I remember before that, I turned around and asked my friends, Derek and Lynn Swakey, like, oh, which card did you put in? Because now we can talk because we all put in our cards.
Okay.
And then they said, oh, we're going to stay at Cerritos Baptist Church because we have young kids and we want the established children's ministry that already exists. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that's understandable. I get it. But I had been going to the same church as Derek and Lynn for many, many, many years. So I was like, I was a little sad. I was like, because they are like, well, which card did you drop in? I was like, oh, I put the church plant one in because I felt nudged by God to put it in. So then my first couple months at Catalyst, I was a little sad because I was like, well, now I have to make new friends. Mm-hmm. And I'm a somewhat introverted person, so it's really hard for me to make friends. So I think God knew that. And so God brought friends pretty quickly, like Marcia and stuff like that. So that wasn't sad for very long when Catalyst started.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's so neat because as you look back on your life at Catalyst, there's been so many lessons that have, we've all been on this journey, a lot of us at Catalyst. And so I wondered if you can talk about that, about just some of the things that God has highlighted to you over the years that have been so instrumental in your life and your growth as a believer.
I think the biggest one is when Catalyst started and our focus on our identity in Christ. And that was very pivotal because I was always one of the, grew up with that Asian mentality of you got to perform to get appreciation, or you got to do good for people like you or something. It was very performance-based activity.
Yeah.
And then the perform, what you did defined who you were.
Right.
And so learning that our identity is supposed to be in Christ, and we don't do anything except that's what our identity is because of our faith in Jesus. It made a big difference. And then I did take Pastor Sam's class a few times, but each time I felt like it just solidified the previous times. So as I felt like I had to keep taking the class over and over because there was so many lies about my identity in the past that I really needed, even if it was the same information, I needed to hear it over and over again.
Right, right. I mean, it's like when we develop habits in our life that have been built over years, you know, it does take time, doesn't it, to reverse them and have this really totally new way of thinking, huh?
Right.
Yeah. So it sounds like you came a long ways just through that realization and through taking Sam's class.
Yeah.
And another thing that you highlighted also was just how God speaks to you through the Holy Spirit, and I wondered if you can talk about that, because that was really impactful for you too as well, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I never really thought that the Holy Spirit personally talks to us. I mean, I've heard other believers or Christians say, I can see pictures, or I see a picture from God, or mm-hmm. I heard some like audio words, or and I just thought, oh, that's really cool. But I think for me, I think being at Catalyst, I think I sense that God puts different like actions in my head to go do something that I may not want to do, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. like he'll give me words that I'm supposed to share with someone and I don't know why.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So then I think over the time I've been at Catalyst, I feel like that's how God speaks to me. I don't necessarily hear the words verbally. I just think of these words.
Yeah.
Or think of actions that I don't really want to do that, but I know that the Holy Spirit's prompting me to do that.
So. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, is it just like when you get ready to, when the Holy Spirit prompts you to share, like during Thanksgiving or Sunday mornings, is it like that too, when God prompts you to share a word with someone, you get that same like butterflies in the stomach or kind of thing? Is it similar to that? Or
I think it's not, if it's like a word for someone, I don't have all the symptoms that I have, like I'm going to share, like for uh-huh. sharing.
Okay.
But it's uh-huh. more of like, I think I want you to go share this word.
Okay.
Or something uh-huh. like that. So then it's like, I don't have the sweaty hands or the heart beating, but it's like, it just pops into my head.
Okay.
So at first I thought, is it me? Like, but why would I be thinking of that? So then I figured out it must be the Holy Spirit prompting me to go tell that person this word.
Okay. Uh-huh. So
the symptoms of going up and sharing is
a little different.
Different.
Yeah. But nonetheless, it's something that you still feel strongly that the Lord wants you to share, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. And so as you're on this journey, your faith journey, Catalyst has a retreat, and you even grew further in your faith. And so I wondered if you can share about that one retreat. And I think you said it when Pastor Dean Fujishima was the guest speaker.
Yeah. I don't remember what year, but it was a year that I think that was the first time we met Pastor Dean. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about healing and how we need to pray for healing.
Yeah.
And so I didn't at the time have any need for healing, but just watching people get healed of certain things, and it just like watching Soo Jin get her hearing restored that mm-hmm. she never had to begin with.
Yeah.
And then I was amazed. And then,
And if I can just stop you for a sec, sorry about that. But for those listening that don't know who Soo Jin was, she was at our church for some time, played the keyboards, and was actually deaf in one ear. And what Anne is referring to was a retreat where she was healed in that one ear, and her hearing was completely restored in that one ear. So.
And so I think just witnessing different healing,
yes.
like at that retreat, whether it's Soo Jin or just other people getting healed, I was like, wow. And Pastor Dean didn't really do any fancy prayers. He just kind of prayed for healing.
Yes, in faith. Huh?
In faith. Yeah. And so I thought, oh, that's really neat. And then at the same retreat, I was supposed to have, we were, I was rooming with Marcia, and we were supposed to, it was supposed to be three of us in the room. But one of the other ladies, she ended up not being able to go through retreat because she ended up in the hospital before going to the retreat.
That was Sue Oshiro. Yeah.
So then, but she wasn't able to contact any of us until the last day. So we didn't know until the very last day. And so I remember visiting her after the retreat on my way back home. And then I was kind of praying for her a little bit, kind of like the way Pastor Dean had just taught us at the retreat. And then to find out after, and then I think Pastor Dean and Pastor Barry went to visit her as well. They went to right after I had left, so I missed them at the hospital. But I remember she reported later that she was supposed to have a surgery, but then she was miraculously, whatever they were going to do surgery on, everything got better.
Yeah.
So she didn't have to have surgery.
Yeah, wow.
So it made me, just hearing that made me think, wow, God's pretty amazing. We only have to do simple prayers, and then he heals people. And Sue wasn't even at the retreat.
Yeah.
She got healed.
Yeah.
So it definitely increased my faith to just pray simply for other people.
Right. Wow. That is so awesome. And, you know, something that you said was last week, Brandon Saito came on the podcast and we were talking about how, you know, I used to think that we had to summon up this great power within us, you know, in order for people to get healed. And I love the word you use, simple faith, that you know, God's the one doing the healing anyway. So it's not like anything that we do. You know, we just have to lift up the prayer in faith, believing, and that's all that's required of us, huh?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. That's so awesome. And so, you know, you run your marathons and your half marathons, and there's good times during the race and there's challenging times during the race, right? So I was thinking of Hawaii, where maybe there was a section of Waikiki or somewhere where you're kind of enjoying the scenery and you're doing well. And then I also thought how when people run marathons, you know, there's the wall, right? That mark where it gets really tough, or maybe you're going up a hill and it gets challenging. And so kind of comparing the marathon to your life, you kind of hit a wall during that COVID period. That was a really challenging time for you. And so I wondered if you could share about what was challenging for you during the COVID period.
I think it was, at least for my faith part, it was challenging because at the time I was working as an as-needed therapist down at a skilled nursing facility in Fountain Valley, and also as needed for, as also for like a staffing company where if skilled nursing facilities needed extra help, they would call this company and I would get a work offer. So, but since it was during COVID, a lot of skilled nursing facilities, the census had dropped a lot. And they weren't needing help, extra help, which is kind of what I was. I was a little discouraged because I was like not working very steadily and stuck at home and just dwelling. And then my aunt, that was the one that was instrumental in me going into the field of occupational therapy. She was battling cancer and then she lost. So she passed away in 2020 in July. So I was, I prayed for her a lot and I had my small groups pray for her, the ones that when we met on Zoom and stuff. And so it was just really hard time of having faith and trust in God. But I think God helped me through that time, even though it was hard and I could have easily gotten discouraged. But I think with the people in my small group, even though we met on Zoom, and they were encouraging, and just my family members, we're like, well, we just hope my aunt knew Jesus before she passed away.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was tough.
Yeah, and then I think you even said, well, this is a year later in 2021. Your dad too had health issues, right?
Yes. He suddenly passed away as well, and he lived in Taiwan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. What's neat, just, you know, what the observation is, you know, you had your small group to surround you and to support you, and I'm just thinking again, I can't help but go back to your running the marathons where, you know, everyone is running for a purpose, you know, to finish the race. And similarly, your small group and people at Catalyst surrounded you and encouraged you and helped you in that common goal of supporting you and praying for you. And so
seems
very, very similar, you know, a parallel in again, both arenas that you're involved in. But I wanted to ask you, because before your dad passed away, you had a really precious encounter with him. And I wondered if you can share about that, because that was very instrumental to you, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. So he passed away in September of 2021. But the 3 months before, on Father's Day weekend, I felt the Holy Spirit saying to call him to wish him happy American Father's Day.
Yeah.
And since Taiwan is a day ahead of the U.S., so I called Saturday night before the Father's Day here. So, and normally in the past, I would only text him, like, just happy Father's American Father's Day, and I love you and things like that. But for some reason that particular year, I sensed that the Holy Spirit, I think you should call him this time, not knowing that he was going to pass away suddenly 3 months later. Yeah. So I did call, and we talked, and we actually exchanged I love yous. And I don't share that phrase with my parents very much,
because
I wasn't very, very close to them in the past.
Yeah.
And so so we just shared that with each other, and we were, then I said, I'm going to try to reach out more. And then I kind of did, but more through the texting afterwards. But yeah, so that was very special Father's Day.
Yeah. Do you remember what his reaction was when you exchanged the I love yous?
I think he just said it back to me.
Yeah,
from what I remember.
Yeah, and how about you? What was going inside of you at the time?
I think I felt closer too than I had before.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Yeah. So, and as you look back on your journey, not only training for the marathons and the half marathons, but also running your faith race as well, what are a few of your biggest takeaways or lessons that you'd pass on to someone listening?
I think just one of them would be, if you sense the Holy Spirit prompting you to do something, whether it's something you don't want to do or going up to praying for someone, or just that you should just obey, because we usually don't win when we are arguing with the Holy Spirit. And then I guess the other one is just when we do pray over someone or give words of blessings, it doesn't have to be like, it can just be very simple. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't have to be full of big words or big elaborate things.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. So, Anne, as we close our time together today, I just, first of all, want to thank you for being here on Catalyst Stories and sharing both your running journey and your ministry, as well as your faith journey with us as well. So,
thank you. It was fun.
Yeah. And I want to lift up a time of a prayer of thanksgiving for your testimonies and your ministry and for listeners as well. So, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing and giving Anne the ability and the desire to run in various races where she could not only train and enjoy being with others, but also run with a purpose as well. And thank you for the ministry of Team World Vision, who Anne is a part of, to help provide clean water and other facilities for people and households in need. And thank you for Anne's heart to bless and support these type of projects. And Father God, I just pray for Anne that her time and efforts and blessings to others would be multiplied back to her many times over, Lord. And Father God, thank you that Anne could also sense your presence with her while she participated in these races and how you've helped her to become more disciplined, Lord, and train, and how you've also built her faith as well, Lord. And I just want to quote Philippians 3:14, where Paul says, "I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." And so, Lord, I thank you, Father God, that you not only care and want us to be want to be a part of everything in our lives, Lord, but Father God, that you help us to, Lord, in any goal we're trying to reach or anything that we choose to do, that you're there with us, Lord. And so, Father God, help us to involve you and connect with you in all areas of our lives, that we might be closer to you and have more of a heart-to-heart connection with you and hear your voice more clearly and more intimately. And in fact, I just, for those of you listening, I'd just like to invite all of you now, as you're listening to this podcast, to just pause and acknowledge and thank him for his presence with you at this very moment. So we'll just give you a second to do that. And Lord, thank you there for being there with Anne during the difficult, challenging times of her life. But Lord, I also thank you that during this time, Lord, that Anne was able to experience her dad telling her that he loved her. So I just thank you for providing that opportunity. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for your unconditional love for us. And as you've said in Romans 8:38 and 39 in the English Standard Version, that neither life nor death, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so I thank you for that, Lord. And now, Jesus, may you use these testimonies in Anne's life to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, Anne. And that's it for today's episode of Catalyst Stories. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.